After you've done all you can, stand. After the discouragement, despite the discouragement, despite everything, you've prayed, and it seems like things are not getting any better. After you've done all you can, please stand. Lovely song there by Pastor Donny McClurkin. It's an old song, but evergreen, with Pastor Marvin Winans and Sissy Winans there. Lovely song. After all, you've done all you can, stand. Okay, welcome to today's Bible study. My name is Tolu Topedada, and I'm the set man for Christ Apostolic Church, Graceville. We have a physical church in Abuja, and we have a digital church, which is online across all social media platforms. Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your feedbacks. And then today's the lesson is titled Expect Persecution of Believers. Expect Persecution of Believers. Let's just say a word of prayers before we go into this study this evening. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace that works in us. Thank you for favor. Thank you for the gift of life. As we go into your word this evening, we ask that your presence will be with us. We ask that you will shed light upon these texts in the name of Jesus. We'll be encouraged not to give up, no matter the persecution, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. So we have three main texts to read. Expect persecution of believers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12. I'm reading the Passion Translation. It says, "How enriched are you when persecuted for doing what is right? For then you will experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. How blessed are you when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. So leap for joy, since your heavenly reward is great. For you are being rejected the same way the prophets were before you." Okay, let's go to Matthew 24, 9 to 10. Matthew 24, 9 to 10. "You can expect to be persecuted, even killed, for you will be hated by all nations because of your love for me. Then many will stop following me and fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another." Then verse 29 of the same Matthew 24. Verse 29 says, "Then immediately this is what will take place. The sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and all cosmic powers will be shaken. Then the end will come." Just talking about the end time, the signs of the end time. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered, as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice, for you, in a measure, have shared the suffering of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of His glory and celebrate with even greater gladness. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are greatly blessed because the Spirit of glory and power, who is the Spirit of God, rest upon you. Let none of you merit suffering as a murderer or a thief or a criminal or as one who meddles in the affair of others. If you suffer for being a Christian, don't consider it a disgrace, but a privilege. Glorify God because you carry the Anointed One's name. For the time is ripe for judgment to begin in God's own household. And if it starts with us, then what will be the fate of those who refuse to obey the gospel of God? And if righteousness is, if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the wicked and godless? So then, those who suffer for following God's will should enfold their lives into the Creator, who will never fail them and continue to always do what is right. Okay, let's get straight into the introduction. God permits persecution and cannot be queried for that. God is omniscient. At times, we don't see the picture from this side of eternity. We don't see the picture from this. We don't see the full picture. We only see our own part. But if we look at the general picture, the giant view from heaven, it cannot be questioned because it is always for His will. So, hardly had the church been birthed that it started experiencing persecution. However, believers' persecution is to be expected and experientially declared by Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:12. Let's read 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12 states that for those who choose to live godly as worshippers of Jesus, the Anointed One, will also experience persecution. If you choose to live godly, you will experience persecution. This teaching is not for babies. This is bone. This is cracking of bones. This teaching is not for babies. You should expect to be persecuted. Jesus says, if he was persecuted, his followers will also be persecuted in John 15:20. Let's read that. John chapter 15, verse 20 says, 20. So remember what I taught you, that a servant isn't superior to his master. And since they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they obey my teachings, they will also obey yours. So since they persecuted Jesus, who are you, my brother? We will all be persecuted. Thus, end-time believers have no doubt. End-time believers, no doubt, have to prepare for persecution because it is a stark reality of the Christian life. Despite the persecution, we must keep pressing on in faith. That song says, "Press towards the mark of the high calling. I'm pressing on to reach my goal. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press, I press, I press. I will never give up. I will never look back." Don't give up. Don't look back. Keep pressing on to the mark of the high calling of Christ. Keep pressing on in faith. Meanwhile, persecution is a program or campaign to subjugate or eliminate a specific group of people often based on race, religion, sexuality, or social beliefs. Those who are persecuted are people who have been treated unfairly because of their faith. Now, if you look at this, the classes they list, the group or classes of people they listed here, either race, religion, sexuality, or social beliefs. Now, social beliefs, the people that the kind of persecution we're even experiencing based on our social beliefs is annoying these days. You will see someone I heard a voice recording or a phone conversation between a mother in one of the Western nations and the principal of a faith-based school. The principal of a faith-based school. She didn't put her child in a public school. She paid extra money to put her in a school that is a Christian school. The daughter was asked what was her opinion. Our opinion on this LGBTQ. And the daughter stated her opinion. Because the daughter stated her opinion and the opinion was not is not right or acceptable in quotes to the society, the daughter was asked to serve suspension. And the mother was like, this is supposed to be a faith-based school. But her daughter was not going about campaigning against these people. No. You asked for her opinion. She gave her opinion. Now, because she gave an opinion that is different from the opinion of the teacher or the opinion of the society, she must be suspended. Ah. In a faith-based school, my brother, the kind of persecution, can you see the kind of persecution that we're experiencing? I'm not asking you to, by fire, by force, accept my definition. But you are saying that I don't even have a right to my own definition. That is how the kind of persecution, and see, persecution has been experienced, has been an experience of God's people, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Believers, persecution comes in a wide range of ways. It can be by scorn, they can be scorning you, hatred, ridicule, physical violence, imprisonment and death. So ridicule, scorn, hatred, it can cost you your career. In fact, as a teacher in some of the Western countries, if you don't believe in the LGBTQ agenda and you voice it out, your career is over. You cannot get a job as a teacher again. So it is that crazy. Those are the kind of persecutions. Yes, there are some places that people still lose their lives for the sake of the gospel. But a number of people here probably listening to me may not be in that category of people that will lose their lives. But you may be scorned. You may be hated. You may be ridiculed. You may lose your license. There was a nurse in a country in the West that, because she offered to pray with a patient who was sick, She was disbarred, or I mean, is it disbarred? They call them now. Her license was revoked. Her license to practice nursing. That's to show you. I mean, and this country was the country that brought Christianity to Africa. It brought Christianity, because they didn't actually bring it. They brought it hidden with a number of other things. But let's know that today is not a day to shake that table. So we've read 2 Timothy 3:12, that where Paul said, in as much as you are in this world, you will be persecuted. In as much as you choose to stand for Christ, it comes with persecution. Believers should expect to experience persecution, not all in the same way, but all for the same purpose, because of their uncompromising devotion to Christ Jesus, which means you will chop your own breakfast. It may not be like my own, no, or my brother, my sister, you will chop your own. You will chop it. We are all going to have, we'll drink our cup. We all drink our cup. Your own may be Lipton and my own is Bonvita and the other person's own is coffee, but we will all drink it. We will drink our cup. Some people's own may be Agbu or Agbu Jetty. Some other people is water. But we drink our cup. We all drink our cups. And these are some of the things that we need to start. We need to get out of this bread and butter, milk and honey conversation in Christianity and start talking, start dealing with some realities. These are realities. These are not childish conversations for anybody in the faith. These are realities. So we should be ready. So let's go into the discussion. Jesus' words imply that believers in him should be ready for persecution anytime. Matthew 5, 10 to 12, Matthew 24, 9 to 10, John 15, 19 to 20. We've read all those things. That Jesus said, if they can persecute me, who are you? Bros, you will chop your own breakfast. I chop my own. That's what Jesus was saying. So Jesus was telling us to be ready for persecution, to be prepared for persecution. So Matthew 10, 16 to 18, spell out how Jesus foretold his disciples about the persecution they would endure. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 18. Let's read that. Matthew 10, 16 to 18. Now remember, it is I who sends you out, even though you feel vulnerable as lambs going into a pack of wolves. Be as shrewd as snakes, yet harmless as doves. Be on your guard, for there will be those who will betray you before their religious councils and brutally beat you with whips in their public gatherings. And because you follow me, they will take you to the stand, to stand trial in front of even kings, in front of rulers and even kings, as an opportunity to testify before, testify of me before them and unbelievers. So Jesus was predicting persecution here, but he added an end story today that they will take you to trial, but that this whole process, this whole persecution process, is all in a way for you to testify of me before kings. Wow. Master planner. Don't worry, they will do this, they will lie in front of you, they will take you for trial, they will do all this is an opportunity for you to testify of me before kings. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then why? Second Timothy 3:12, we've read that. What is it telling us about persecution? He's saying that living Christ-like attracts persecution in any generation. They will call you, they will mock you, they will call you SU, they will call you Mother of Jesus, Mary the Mother of Jesus, they will call you Odesuegbe, you are not, they will call you all sorts of names because you choose to live Christ-like. Now, why is everyone always, seem to always unite against Christianity? Almost all religions are in unity once it comes to attack against Christianity. Why? There is something about the name of Jesus. That's it, brethren. There's something about that name, Jesus. There's something about the name. There was a time, I think, sometimes last year or 2 years ago, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, there was something that was happening in Nigeria, maybe an unrest or something, a civil unrest or something like that. I can't remember the exact occasion. So Pastor Nat said, people of God, can you just put the name Jesus on your DP, on Twitter, or across all social media platforms? So the design of the name, just Jesus. So a lot of people change their DP to that, Jesus. We just call the name on Twitter, on Facebook, across WhatsApp, across social media platforms like that. And trust Nigerians, they just started agitating. Why will you, is it Jesus? Why will you be doing Jesus challenge? Why is it criticism? Why are you putting Jesus? Ah. And of course, Pastor Nat just responded with the word. There was a popular OAP that was now, he started the program on why the name Jesus, he was not criticizing. Okay. So Pastor Nat just put a word out. When you mention the name of Jesus, demons tremble. I mean, that's automatically, it would shut that up. But a couple of weeks or months later, just a few months or a few weeks after, one of the presidential candidates who contested in the last presidential election in Nigeria now declared that his intention that was going to contest. And his supporters came on the same Twitter and said, can you put this name, the name of this person and his image and his DP, use his name and picture on your DP across social media platform? The same thing. And his supporters did that. They put his name, they do that, da, 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 da. And there was silence. Nobody criticized anything. If I had to come on Twitter and say, is it not the same thing? Why is it that it is the Jesus that is paining you people? That shows the name Jesus is not an ordinary name. There's something about that name. There's something. Everybody unites against. Do you understand? Like, the old demons just unite against the name. Some people will say that in a particular country, remove the name God. Remove God out of every public institution and out of every public mention, that it is offensive to some people. Even there's a particular AI tool that if you ask about God, it will tell you you cannot talk about God because it could be offensive to some people. The same AI chatbot was asked about Satan, and he gave opinion about Satan, about Satanism. So people, you are just telling me that some people don't find Satanism offensive. So you could see the bias. Ask about the name Jesus. No. Gladly, they will talk about the name Jesus in public. No, but you can talk about other things. You can talk about Halloween. You can talk about other things. Those ones, there's nobody that is likely to get offended by those ones. Can you imagine? Why is everybody or everything seem united against Christianity? It is because there's something powerful about the name Jesus. Okay. You can see that evil will always hate good. The world hates Christians and by extension Christianity. And also, Cain murdered Abel. Why? I mean, we offered offering. Yours was accepted. Mine was not accepted. Instead of me to go to the root cause and do a root cause analysis of why mine was not affected, I would rather kill you. Do you understand? Wow. Okay. Jesus says, Mark 10:29, we read that. Jesus says that that the blessings of forsaking all to follow him in this life will be mixed with persecution. I think, we've not read it. I just mentioned this. Let's read it again. Mark 10:29-30. There's something I want us to learn from this. I didn't even see this part until I was preparing for this for this teaching. And I've been quoting this scripture several times. He said, listen to my words. Jesus said, Mark 10:29, anyone who leaves his home behind and chooses me over children, parents, family, and possessions, all for the sake of the gospel, it will come back to him 100 times as much in this lifetime, homes, family, mothers, brothers, sisters, children, and possession, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, he will inherit eternal life. So when Jesus was promising that all you forsook or you left behind for his sake, you get it back in this age. There's also a caveat, along with persecution. I didn't see that along with persecution. I always just say you get 100-fold here on that and in the world to come. That's what I used to quote. But he put a caveat on this earth too. You get it back in 100-fold on this earth. You also get it alongside persecutions. Woo! Wow. This is hard meat. This is hard meat. Okay. What are the parts the devil and those who hate Christ play in wreaking persecution on believers of Christ? 1 Peter 5:8. Of course, let's read it. I want to read this version. 1 Peter 5:8. I want to read the Passion Translation. What does it say? Be well balanced and always alert. Be well balanced. Don't tilt towards one side and say, yeah, it is every attack, or tilt towards one side. No, it can never happen to me. Be well balanced. Balance is a thing of maturity. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. So the devil is always on a mission. And Saul in Acts 22:7 was recounting his experience as a persecutor of believers. Okay, Revelations 2, 10 to 11. The risen Lord told the Smyrna church or Smyrna Christians that they will suffer occasioned by the devil, that might even end up in martyrdom. Suffering is not an unusual occurrence for Christians. So that me, I no go suffer, I no go bear for bread. God of miracle, now my papa. Oh, yeah, it's good, it's great. But Jesus said you will suffer. In fact, Paul said he's learned to be content, whether with a stomach full of food or an empty stomach. So there will be persecutions, brethren. As Christians, there will be persecution. 1 Peter 4, 12, we've read that, 12 to 19, we've read that earlier. Apostle Peter wrote this just before the outbreak of persecution under Nero in 64 AD. Isn't this a prophecy of the coming Roman persecutions of the Christian church? Not of them alone, but it is applicable to the Christians in every generation. Don't be surprised. Are you asking why God will allow such to happen? Then consider these. Let's look at some of the reasons why persecution may happen or will happen. Don't let me say may happen. Number one, the prospect of sharing his glory. If we share in Christ's glory, we will also share in his suffering. If we share in his suffering, we also share in his glory. If we share in the suffering of Christ, he said, if you share in my suffering, you will also share in my glory. Whatever you are going through now, just take it that, wow, it is in hope that I will share in the glory with Christ. Number two, the present glory of being blessed with the Spirit. The present glory of being blessed with the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. So this present glory of being blessed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory, rests upon us. So Christians who are persecuted learn more about the reality of God's presence. It is in those darkest moments, those quiet, trying times, that we see God move, that we see God in action, that we see, we have an experiential knowledge of God. It is clear, number three, it is clear from 1 Peter 4, 17 to 19, that persecuted believers are made purer through persecution because it protects against worldliness and deviance. Remember how the church has remained pure in times of persecution. It is a test by fire to prove our faith. That's 1 Peter 1, 7. Above all, number four, it is the will of God, even our faithful Creator. It is the will of God that these persecutions happen. This is not a teaching for kids. This is not a teaching for those who don't know what they are doing. This is not a teaching for those who will give God ultimatum, and if God doesn't do it, I will stop serving you. Like we don't let me shake another thing. Okay, let me shake this one small. We read or we heard some all sorts of prophecies in this last election in Nigeria. Someone telling us that if so and so person doesn't win this particular election, God, they should come and cut off his hand. That means God didn't speak to him. I mean, those people cannot. These are not sermons for people that fall into that category. If God doesn't do this, then someone even said, if God doesn't do it, if the person is prophesying to win, doesn't win, then he will go and start serving Ifa. Do you understand? So this is not a sermon for people that fall into that category or believe such things. This is the meat of the word. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4. 1 Thessalonians 3:3-4. So that no one will be shaken by these persecutions, for you know that we are destined for this. Oh my God. In fact, when we were with you, we forewarned you suffering and persecution is coming. And so it has happened, as it has happened, as you well know. So Paul sent his emissary to strengthen the persecuted Thessalonians. This implies that as early as the beginning of the church, even in the end times, Christians were being persecuted. The prophecy is already a reality. Understanding these divine reasons for persecution should make us expectant of and be readily willing to suffer. Persecution is terrible and scary. Persecution is a scary thought. It is a terrible and scary thought. As a teenager, I read a book, Tortured for Christ. Talked about when what some Christians faced in communist countries. It is unimaginable, terrible. It was a terrible situation. It was a terrible situation, and they faced it. That's not something with our human knowledge. That's not something you want to long for. That's not something you want to long for. However, watch this. However, we serve a God that brings beauty from ashes and strength from our weakness. He brings beauty from ashes. He strengthens us in the times of our weaknesses. Praise the Lord. So whoever is going through one persecution or the other, I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be strengthened. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will strengthen you in Jesus' name. Okay, let's say some prayer points here. Number one, Lord, grant us the grace and enablement to wait indeed for persecution and not be afraid. Let's begin to pray. Father, Lord, grant us the grace to wait and not be afraid of persecution. Some people, because they're afraid of persecution, they give up on the faith. Lord, grant us the grace to be matured enough to wait for persecution and not be afraid of it, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name of prayer. Oh Lord, because you overcame persecutions, help us to endure persecutions to the end, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Father Lord, because you overcame persecutions, help us to endure persecutions to the end. Help us to endure it to the end, in the name of Jesus. Because you overcame it, help us to endure it. Because you overcame it, help us to endure it. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Amen. Father Lord, restore those who are backsliding because of persecution, and strengthen us for the journey ahead in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for restoration for every backslided Christian, everyone who has backslidden because of one persecution or the other. Lord, let there be restoration. Restore the hopes. Restore the hopes in the name of Jesus. Restore those who have backslidden. Restore the Christians who have backslidden, in the name of Jesus. Restore everyone who has backslidden because of persecution, and strengthen those of us who are remaining. Strengthen us for the journey ahead, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, Father, make your church to advance even in the face of persecution. Lord, let us move forward even in the face of persecution. Make the church go forward. Make the church advance even in the face of persecution, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we ask for strength. We ask for the diligence, the doggedness to move forward, to keep forging ahead in faith despite the persecution, in the name of Jesus. Let us move forward in the name of Jesus. Let us move forward in the name of Jesus. Let us move forward in the name of Jesus. Lord, guard us, strengthen us, Lord, for what is ahead, for the journey ahead, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us for the journey ahead, in the name of Jesus. Let us be encouraged, in Jesus' name. We ask for those who are backslidden, who has looked back. Lord, I pray for them, in the name of Jesus. Restore them. Father, restore them. Let there be restoration. The church will move forward. The gate of hell will not prevail, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much for tuning in. Just a few announcements before we go. This Friday is Couch Friday, 7 p.m. on Twitter. Last week Friday was explosive. We had an awesome time in the presence of God, an awesome time. We shook quite a number of tables. So come prepared this Wednesday. This Friday, we're going to shake, and we're continuing that conversation. When does it get worthy? When does music get worthy? Is it the artist? Is it the lyrics? Is it the beats? We need to start having this conversation. Don't let's run away from this conversation, because our children will ask us these questions. We may not be able to ask our parents, and they maybe when we ask them, they shut us down. They shouted us down. I don't think we can shout this generation down, even though we'll lose them. So let's bring this conversation to the forefront, and let's ask ourselves and answer some of these difficult questions. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. So 7 p.m. on Twitter Space at CAC Graceville. Invite your friends and family. It's going to be an amazing time in God's presence. And then this Sunday is Digital Church. Wow, it's going to be amazing. We meet every last Sunday of the month at 5 p.m. across all social media platforms. It's Digital Church, 5 p.m. on Sunday 25th, 2023. We meet on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spaces, TikTok, YouTube, all at CAC Graceville. So make it a date with us. It's going to be an amazing time in God's presence. You don't want to miss the sermon for the Digital Church of this month. God bless you. Thank you very much. You can also follow us across all social media platforms at CAC Graceville. Thank you. God bless you. I'll see you again next week, Tuesday, for Bible study. However, on Friday, I'm going to see you on Twitter Space. And on Sunday, I'll see you at the Digital Church. Have a very, very productive rest of the week, and have a wonderful night. Goodbye.